The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
You know, yesterday at this time I said, when will the monkeys of the GOP and the DNC just start heading down to the Senate floor and just start throwing feces at each other? Well, I think they started yesterday. We have some amazing audio from Susan Collins throwing feces at another senator. We have the feces smear of Jeff Sessions. And apparently, Senator Sessions is a little angry about it, as I would imagine he does. The senators, however, are backing Jeff Sessions on this. By the way, yesterday they voted to talk about repealing health care. What a victory. I will tell you why it was imaged the way it was yesterday, and you'll begin to understand how our politics works in Washington a little bit more. Also, we passed a measure to put sanctions on Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Why is the EU mad at us? We'll tell you about that. And as if you don't have enough to worry about, I'm not even going to give you this story. I'm just going to give you the headline. Your Roomba may be mapping your home, collecting data, and selling that data. I now have to worry about my vacuum? Enough is enough. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me start with healthcare. Here's what happened yesterday with healthcare. The GOP got together and they voted to discuss healthcare out in the open. That's all that happened. Now, why would you have the president speak right after? Why would you fly John McCain back for this historic vote and have him give a stirring speech right after? Because this is the best the Republicans can do. Now, let me explain this. Let's say that we all went to a company and we said, you guys have to hire us because we're going to build an amazing car. We can fix the car industry. You think self-driving cars are great? Wait until you see what we have. And we're going to be able to make it at half the price. So a company hires us. And all we do is spend 7 years arguing about nothing. We first say, we can't make that car. You know what, boss, shareholders, we want to make that car, but Ted in accounting keeps stopping us. We need Ted out of accounting. So they fire Ted. And then you're like, well, it wasn't just Ted in accounting. It's also Bill in product. He is crazy bad. So they fire Bill. And you're like, okay, it wasn't just Ted and Bill. We also need to be on the board of directors. Okay, all right, you're on the board of directors. Okay, now we can get something done. Then everybody in the company watches for something to come out of that factory. No car. Nothing going in, nothing going out. Maybe it's like Professor Potts when he bought that car in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yes, I had to throw that reference in. Where nobody went into the barn and all of a sudden this great flying car came out. No, it's nothing like that. Nobody's been doing anything in the warehouse. Nobody's been doing anything to build a new car. So finally, everybody gets so angry that the board of directors comes in and says, you know what, guys, we've had enough. You haven't built anything. And so what do the people who said they were going to build the car do? They say, you know what? You're exactly right. And this time we're going to do something. You know what? Call the press, because we're going to show you exactly what we've got planned. We're going to change the world tomorrow. Call the press. And the head of our division is going to give a speech after the press conference. This is going to be a big day. So the press comes. Everybody's waiting with bated breath. This is going to be the day we find out all about this car. And they get everybody who has said that they were going to build that car together. And they say, we're going to have a historic day. All in favor of talking about some kind of car that would be great and half the cost, say aye. Aye. The ayes have it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just witnessed a historic event. No car has been built. No car has even been proposed. But what this team of amazing people have just done is they have voted. They've opened up the doors. They've been talking behind closed doors. They've opened up the doors. And now they're going to talk about passing something that will possibly get that car built. They don't even know what it looks like, but pay no attention to that. And then the CEO of that division steps to the plate and says, you know, all these people who are standing away of this car being built. Wait a minute. You got everything you asked for. Those people have got to go. Standing in the way of progress of this amazing car that we have absolutely no idea what it will look like, what it will cost, what it even is. We're just going to vote on talking about a car. That's all that happened yesterday. So why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because if you build up enough of an event, if you make a circus, everyone will remember the time the circus came to town. They won't remember exactly what happened because nobody's paying enough attention to it. Everybody has to juggle 400 different things in their life. My wife, I came home last night and she said, did they pass a health care bill? And I said, no, honey, they didn't. She said, they voted it down. I said, no, they voted to talk about it. To talk about it. She rolled her eyes and she said, you've got to be kidding. And I said, no. And that's what will happen. The average busy person will think the GOP just did something miraculous. This is a procedure. Those votes happen all the time. This is just a vote to proceed about talking about it. Why was this a global event? This is like, hey, Bill, can you come on over to my office about maybe an hour? We got to talk about building that car. Sure. That's all it was. So don't get excited, because really that platform, more importantly, was a launching pad for two other things that do not help your life. You were interested because you have a very high deductible. You were interested, by the way, hopefully by the end of the week, we have somebody who's going to help you on that. You were interested yesterday because you can't pay the premium. You lost your doctor. You lost the health care you love. You're on the edge. You care. But that's not what yesterday was about. That yesterday was about convincing the everyday person that the Republicans actually did something when they did nothing. Two, it was a launching pad for two attacks. John McCain against talk radio. And Donald Trump against Jeff Sessions. Let's start with talk radio, shall we? Here's John McCain.
The problem solving our system does make possible the fitful progress it produces and the liberty and justice it preserves is a magnificent achievement. Our system doesn't depend on our nobility. It accounts for our imperfections and gives us an order to our individual strivings that has helped make ours the most powerful and prosperous society on earth. It is our responsibility to preserve that. And even when it requires us to do something less satisfying than winning, even when we must give a little to get a little, even when our efforts managed just 3 yards in a cloud of dust while critics on both sides denounce us for timidity, for our failure to triumph.
Stop for just a second.
I hope we can...
Before we get any further on this, the three yards and a cloud of dust, by the way, he's saying, we have got to compromise. We've got to work together. And it's very noble on what he's saying. Unfortunately, he has said he won't compromise on a clean repeal bill. He's not compromising. He's saying everyone else has to compromise to this level. Mm-hmm. Not him. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has to compromise to this level. But then he goes on.
Again, rely on humility, on our need to cooperate, on our dependence on each other, to learn how to trust each other again, and by so doing better, serve the people who elected us. Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. Mm. To hell with them.
Wow. Okay. So, those loud, bombastic loudmouths on radio, television, and internet. You know what? In some regard, in some ways, I agree with that. In some ways, I agree with that. Unless those voices are not a parabolic dish, but an actual mirror of the American people. If that is the message of the American people, but I don't think a lot of what is happening in the news is a reflection of the American people. But I certainly don't think that the people in Washington, D.C. are reflecting the people. They're the ones that created this healthcare nightmare. They're the ones who said, we've got a crisis. When most of Americans said, we don't have a crisis. Remember, before this passed, and I know it's been so long, before this passed, 70% were against it. They were like, we don't have a problem. They took and used a problem of, hey, these people don't have health care. They got to have health care. Okay. Instead of fixing that, they destroyed the health care we have because they want a single payer system. If I may quote, some people think this is a Trojan horse. It's not a Trojan horse. It's right there. End quote. They were trying to get to a single payer system. So these people in Washington went and they took and destroyed our health care under the guise of being able to help these people. Have they helped those people? No, they have not. In fact, more people have died per year under the ACA than didn't. Now, I am not tying that directly because I don't know. It's too early to tell. But 80,000 people a year more are dying with the ACA. I don't know what's caused that, but it certainly hasn't helped. And it has hurt a vast majority of Americans who are now struggling. And they think they have their finger on the pulse of America. If that is true, John McCain, then why do you have, and I'm not exaggerating, I believe it is 1 point above or 1 point below the ratings of cockroaches. Because America loves cockroaches? Because we think cockroaches are a benefit to us? Believe me, if any of these guys scampered out from underneath our refrigerator, I wouldn't be surprised. And I can tell you, I would spray him with whatever I had or hit him over the head with a broom. They are cockroaches in many ways. They better listen to somebody. And not themselves, because they are completely lost in Washington, D.C. Sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Smishing is the new phishing. It's phishing emails, you know. Glenn, I am your friend, and I just lost my wallet, and I only had my phone with your email address in it. And I need $5,000 because I'm trapped in some country that I would never go to in the first place. fraudulent messages through emails. Now they're hitting text messages instead, and they may appear to not come from your friend, but from your bank or credit card company asking for a reply right away. What do they get? They get your identity, they'll get your reply, they'll get your code numbers, etc., etc. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. It's not just somebody stealing your credit card. It's people who are really digging for your information. If there is a problem, a U.S. identity restoration specialist will work to fix it for you. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but if you act now, you not only have LifeLock, but they're going to add the protection of Norton Security because hacking is a real problem. You'll get Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships together. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get 15% off the first year of your LifeLock membership. So you get LifeLock at 15% off. You get Norton for free for the first year. You're not going to beat this deal. Call now, 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or lifelock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. You'll get that 15% off. BECK15 is the promo code. Terms and conditions do apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Holy cow. So, I noticed through that opening monologue on healthcare and John McCain that Pat was about to explode. Pat is the get off my lawn guy. And I thought I would throw it to Pat with, I think I saw the aneurysm begin to form on the outside of your head when John McCain said, and that'll leave you with 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
Yeah, let me just remind you what he said yesterday.
The problem solving our system does make possible the fitful progress it produces and the liberty and justice it preserves is a magnificent achievement. Mm-hmm. Our system doesn't depend on our nobility. It accounts for our imperfections and gives us an order to our individual strivings that has helped make ours the most powerful and prosperous society on earth. It is our responsibility to preserve that. Mm-hmm. And even when it requires us to do something less satisfying than winning.
Oh.
Even when we must give a little to get a little. Even when our efforts manage just 3 yards in a cloud of dust while critics on both sides denounce us for timidity, for our failure to triumph.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You know what's the problem with that analogy? The look 3 yards in a cloud of dust?
Look out, here he comes.
What does that leave you with, douche? 4th down and 1! And now you have to punt again! Again! And you're the New England Patriots because you have the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. And you're playing against the Sisters of the Immaculate Conception College. It's the New England Patriots against the Sisters. And you still have 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and you still, let alone win the game, you can't even score. In fact, you can't even get a first down because it's always 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Why not pass the ball, get a first down, move down the field, at least kick a field goal?
Please.
By all that is holy, give us one victory. I mean, we never get anything out of them. And then we're the bad people because we expect them to get something done.
We got Gorsuch.
We did get Gorsuch, but it had nothing to do with Congress. It had something to do with him.
Yeah,
at least the senators confirmed him.
You could have confirmed him easily. Majority, but what do you call it? The 60 vote.
Yeah, the supermajority.
The supermajority. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to violate that. It's only a matter of time.
Uh-huh.
And so we could have gotten Gorsuch. I'm glad we got Gorsuch, but that's...
Me too, but that's not legislative.
That's the bare minimum. Now, what are you doing to help the American people on the other promises? And here's the problem. They continue to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Eventually... Very soon, before you've scored a touchdown, even one, or a field goal, What happens? The ball goes to the other team, and the sisters are playing. They're playing hard to make a touchdown, and somehow or another, they always make one.
Yes.
And even though we're the Patriots, we can't stop them. How?
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, I want to give you, again, the three reasons why this happened yesterday, why they voted on a procedural thing and made a huge deal out of it. They made a huge deal out of this for three reasons. One, to make the GOP look like they've actually done something. They haven't. They've agreed to talk about something. We've had talk since the country was created. We don't need much more talk. We need them to do something and act. The second reason that they've done it is to give John McCain, I think, a graceful possible exit.
The Democrats did the same thing for Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's a nice exit. They can, if God forbid he dies, they'll make this all about a remembrance of John McCain. Mm-hmm. And let's get this done because on his last speech, he did this. I'm not saying that he's going to die, but that you don't think that that didn't cross somebody's mind. So they gave him this time to speak his mind and launch an attack against talk radio, the internet, and television. Then Donald Trump used the occasion yesterday to go out after Jeff Sessions. This is not sitting well with his cabinet. This is not sitting well with the senators. Jeff Sessions is a guy who has kept his head down and has worked his whole career. If you're a conservative, you've liked Jeff Sessions. At least on a few things, he's been really, really good. It was surprising to see Jeff Sessions come out and really bet his career, using his own words, if this doesn't work, I'm finished. He bet his career and stood up for Donald Trump long before anybody else. What did Donald Trump use yesterday's press conference to do? To come out again against Jeff Sessions, wondering if he's even going to be there very long.
And I'm very disappointed in Jeff Sessions.
You can fire him.
Look, Jeff, I could, but we'll see what happens. But I appointed a man to a position, and then shortly after he gets the position, he recused himself. I said, what's that all about? Why didn't you tell me that you were going to do that and I wouldn't have appointed you? But I appointed him, and shortly thereafter, he recused himself.
Well, he couldn't have told you that because the timeline. I mean, I hate to go all timeline for you, but for those of you who are functioning on an alternative timeline, let me bring you back to the original timeline of 1985, Professor. The flux capacitor, once you go off the original timeline, everything changes. But if you stick to the original timeline, you will see that he was appointed attorney general. Then the Russia thing happened. And that's when he said, I have to recuse myself from that. I can't be a part of it. So there's no way he could have told Donald Trump that he wouldn't be a part of the Russia thing. Now, here's what's happening.
Because at that time, they said there was no Russia thing.
Yeah. Exactly right. So he didn't know. He would have to have been in on some Russian plan. He'd have to know that they were in trouble when he took that. Hey, listen, if something comes up about the Russia stuff, I'm going to have to recuse myself. What? I mean, that's the only way this timeline works. He's jumbling the timeline. And he's doing it for the same reason that the GOP held a important, historic vote to talk yesterday. Because most people, there's so much coming at them, they don't know. And you repeat a lie enough, it becomes true. That's a lie about Jeff Sessions. And every single person who cares about the border should care about what is happening to Jeff Sessions, because now you've lost him from the Senate and you're losing him as Attorney General. And why? Why? Not because of the other spin that the president is giving. He's saying he's recusing himself from the Russia deal. Well, he should be looking into the Russians with Hillary Clinton. Why aren't they looking into all of the things with Hillary Clinton? That's been the big drum. He himself, if we go back to the original 1985 timeline, Marty McFly, we would see that he himself said, we're not going to pursue Hillary Clinton. We're not going to go after the Clintons. It was a very tough battle. We said things during the campaign, and
I don't want to hurt him.
I don't want to hurt him. So we're not going to go after him. So he knows he's not going to go after them. He himself have instructed the Justice Department not to go after them. He's using that to get rid of Jeff Sessions, to be able to put somebody in that will replace or fire the special counsel looking into Russia, because he can't do it. And I guarantee you, when he gets in, they will, whoever replaces Jeff Sessions will fire the special prosecutor, which will make things much worse. He'll fire them, then we'll have another controversy that we have to deal with. And they will not pursue Hillary Clinton. They will just leave it alone. Don't be played by what is happening at, I would say, three-dimensional chess, but it's not even two-dimensional checkers. Mm-hmm. Don't be played by this.
Interesting, too, that the former Speaker of the House yesterday told the truth. He basically said the Republicans aren't going to do anything about Obamacare.
So listen to this. This is John Boehner. Listen to this.
Here we are, 7 months into this year, and yet they've not passed this bill. Now, they're not going to repeal and replace Obamacare. It's been around too long. And the American people have gotten accustomed to it. Governors have gotten accustomed to this Medicaid expansion. And so trying to pull it back is really not going to work. But what they can do, though, is move it away from government control, where the states have more control over what happens, and individuals have
they
more control.
They won't even do that.
No, so when it's all said and done, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to have an employer mandate anymore. You're not going to have the individual mandate. The Medicaid expansion will be there. The governors will have more control over their Medicaid populations and how to get them care. And a lot of the Obamacare taxes will probably go. They've had a tough time getting there. But if they can't do health care reform, I don't know how they would ever do tax reform.
Okay, so there's John Boehner telling you they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because it's too entrenched, and the governors love it, and people are getting used to it, so it's just not going to happen. That's the truth. That is the truth.
And he's only saying that because he's not in government anymore.
Okay, so this is the conversation that they're all having behind closed doors. Guys, look, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
So it's just not going to happen. I know, but the American people are expecting us to do something, and Donald Trump needs a win. Yeah, but it's not going to happen. So what do? Play the game. All the world is but a stage. You are watching a stage show. If you think somebody in Washington actually cares about you, with a few exceptions, you can forget about that. And you know that.
How do we fix it then? You get on the phone with your representatives?
No, I think you've got to get rid of the leadership, but they're going to be replaced by the same leadership. You have to cancel. You have to drop out of the GOP. You just have to drop out of the GOP. Just get out of it. Get out of the DNC. Get out of the GOP. Stop giving them money. Stop. That has a chance of actually helping. Defunding the GOP and defunding the DNC. When they start to see people really, really flee in mass numbers, which they already have, and it spooked them a bit. But, of course, every 4 years, possibly every 2 years, we join on that bandwagon again because they convince us, if you don't have us, you've got nothing. And just get out. Defund the GOP. Defund the DNC. That's the one thing you can do. Two, one thing we can do is introduce you to somebody who is actually doing something that I think will help you with your health care, that you can actually reduce the cost of your health care. We'll get to that later this week. We'll tell you about that. And the third thing is start to recognize what principles are important. For instance, Jeff Sessions. If Jeff Sessions leaves, you've destroyed a guy who was on our side for much of his life, did a lot of things that most of us have agreed with. So he's done. He leaves the AG. It'll be the first time that we've had an AG for 6 months, and then the first 6 months of a presidency, and then he's gone. But if he's gone, he's done now, and you've destroyed an advocate that we had. Two, what happens to the rest of the cabinet? If the rest of the cabinet can see that Donald Trump could come out and say the things that the cabinet members know are not true, you're going to see more things like Rex Tillerson. Rex Tillerson is just taking a few days off because he's tired. He's tired of what? Apparently, over the weekend, Rex Tillerson almost had an aneurysm over this Jeff Sessions stuff and said, if he can do that to him, a guy who's been most loyal, what's he going to do the rest of us? He's also having a problem because you'll notice Rex Tillerson keeps getting hammered for he hasn't even filled some important posts.
Right.
He's incompetent. I can guarantee you the former CEO of ExxonMobil is not incompetent. He can fill some jobs. I can guarantee you. What's happening is, according to sources around Rex, is that the president is demanding that everyone kiss his ring, and Rex cannot get independent-minded people that he wants on his team to kiss the president's ring. And so Trump is blocking the people that he wants to appoint. And so he's got the frustration of that. And then on top of it, he has the frustration of somebody, a good man like Jeff Sessions, being railroaded here. If we get to a place to where Rex Tillerson leaves, and I think Rex Tillerson would have left already had it not be that the world is in such a precarious place and we cannot show cracks. But if these things are true and Rex Tillerson is in the turmoil that he is in, and believe me, Russia knows, he's in turmoil. Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, is on his way out or under siege, both of them under siege from the press, from the Congress, and from the White House. You do that job. You do that job where no one is giving you rest. No one's saying, it's okay, keep fighting, you're doing a great job. You do that. Now, hit us with another 9/11, with a Secretary of State in turmoil and an Attorney General in turmoil, or God forbid, both of them gone. This is not good. This is not good. Pray for peace outside of our country. Pray for Sessions and Rex Tillerson. Pray for the president. Pray for Congress. But hold people's feet to the fire and hold them accountable, even if they are on your side. You're seeing two people now possibly being destroyed that we all cheered when they got in. Even people who were against, people who were for and against.
And neither of them
cheered.
Have done anything wrong.
Nothing. Nothing wrong. Liberty Safe is not only making great safes, but they make it really easy to own one. Now, LibertySafe.com, you can buy a Liberty Safe at a great price and receive 12 months interest-free payments with zero down and zero APR. They even offer Liberty Safes for as low as $15 a month. Liberty has been a client of mine for 7 years now, and I have never seen them make deals like this. And we're in a position to where you need to make sure that your guns and your you know, items that you want to keep safe are secure in your home. Liberty Safe, it is the best built safe on the planet. LibertySafe.com. Have it installed in your home, interest-free payments, or as low as $15 a month on approved credit right now at LibertySafe.com. That's LibertySafe.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I'm just sitting here thinking about, so what gives you hope that things will work out? Well, history does in some regard. The last time that we were at each other's throats like this, I hate to say, was just before the Civil War. However, it doesn't have to end that way. And remember, the good guys won on the Civil War. And they won because they had a righteous cause. There are enough people now, I think on both sides, that are getting fed up with all of this, with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, in 1852 or 53, it was a group of mainly Democrats, because theirs was the really corrupt, you know, Southern slavery party, but some Whigs as well, that stepped out in front and started calling out their own party. And finally, about 20 of them got together and just said, we're going to start a new party. But they were calling out their own party. It just took 20 to stand up and say, you know what? My party is not serious about solving slavery. That's what needs to happen. We need about 20 patriots to step up and say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about their party. I'm going to talk about my party. My party is not serious about helping people who really need help. My party is not serious about actually fighting Islamists. My party is not serious about the serious issues of the day. I am.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
You know, earlier this week, we started the week with this tragedy in San Antonio. And here in Texas, it's gone back and forth. Is this a problem with not just letting everybody in? Shouldn't we have all of these sanctuary cities? Or is the problem the sanctuary cities? I know the driver said he didn't have any idea what was in the back of his truck. I don't believe him. Now, I'm not a judge and a jury, but a judge and jury should listen to the evidence. And if he is guilty, personally, I think people like this should get the death penalty. The sanctuary cities are dangerous because they are magnets, and they are telling people who are in dire situations, just make it here and you're safe. Well, what is it that we're telling these people to do to make it to their sanctuary city? We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
San Antonio says that it is not a sanctuary city, but it filed on to the lawsuit against Greg Abbott trying to stop all sanctuary cities. I tried to think about what were the last few minutes like in that trailer that got stuck in San Antonio.
Mm.
You want to know why sanctuary cities are bad? It was awful and difficult to imagine, but I tried. And here's what I imagined. At first, we didn't
realize the dead bodies were at our feet because we couldn't see anything. In total darkness, we couldn't help each other. We were all trapped. Maybe after an hour, a sudden stop and the squeal of truck brakes, we fell over each other and people groaned in pain. The trailer doors burst open and flashlights blinded us. A few smugglers jumped into the trailer and rushed about mashing different colored tape onto our sweat-soaked shirts. Something about needing to identify us when we arrived. The rush of air from the open doors was hot and wet, but it was still a godsend. A few near the back tried to jump out, but the smugglers beat them back inside and slammed the doors shut. The complete darkness returned. We were moving again, and my head was throbbing. Through the pain, my mind wandered deliriously to the strange events of the last couple of weeks. My home is in a village in central Mexico, and it's where we worked hard, but we couldn't afford food or rent. Our streets are violent, drug lords battling for control of our town. Our family knew we had to leave, but where? North to America? Maybe Texas or Arizona? We knew Texas would turn us around, but if we could just get a foothold in a sanctuary city. We heard about a service that guarantees passage to America for a price. The service is run by a criminal gang. They're dangerous. They're very expensive. But what options do we have? $700 just to get us across the Rio Grande, and then another $5,500 so the smugglers could get you to a sanctuary city. $6,200 for a chance for the whole family to survive. It took our family 5 years to save enough money just to send one family member. My father chose me. I'm 18, I have a stronger body, he said. Once I could get to a sanctuary city, my father said that I could work hard. I promised him that I would, and I would save my money and send it home. So eventually, the whole family could have a better life in Mexico. 2 days on our rusty bus to the Rio Grande. Then, waiting for nightfall to cross the river. There was only one raft for the crossing. There were 20 in our group. Took 3 trips just to get everybody across. I was on the last trip. Every sound terrified me as I expected floodlights and sirens at any moment. When we reached the American side of the river, 2 pickup trucks took us to a stash house, is what they called it. Someone said we were in Laredo, Texas. Finally, after 11 days confined to this filthy, cramped stash house, a tractor trailer arrived in the middle of the night. We all were hurried outside. They herded us into the cave-like trailer. It felt like stepping into a furnace. The night doesn't cool down in Texas. My eyes adjusted enough to glimpse 100 or more people before they closed the doors and the lights vanished. Confusion, murmuring, whimpering. None of us knew each other. I leaned against one of the trailer walls as the truck began moving. I wiped some of the burning sweat from my eyes and blinked them open. Still nothing to see. It was too dark. I wanted to ask other passengers how long they had been in here and where we were going, but I couldn't even make out faces of people on the either side of me. I knew they were there only because I felt their wet arms and faces slide across mine as the truck jostled us down the road. Just get to the sanctuary city. After a while, we started beating on the walls for help. The driver didn't hear us or ignored us. Feeling along a sidewall near the floor, someone found a hole no bigger than a bottle cap. We all tried to take turns at the hole, sucking in what air they could. It wasn't nearly enough. A brief stop, the rush of hot outside wind, yelling, and the colored tape to label us. Then back on the road, and the heat tightened its grip vise on my chest. I heard a woman's panic breathing, then a long, slow exhale, as if she had died. A strange, dreaded feeling surged through me. I thought, this is where I'm going to die. I thought of my mother. I have to stay alive for my family. They didn't scrimp and save for all those years for their son to die like a pig in a trailer. I tried to concentrate on each slow, careful breath. My mouth was so dry it felt coated in sand. Beside me, someone slumped against my shoulder and then crumpled to the trailer floor, their head slamming into the wall. A child sobbed nearby. There was no sanctuary here. This is hell. Another hour passed. I felt myself I was about to faint a couple of times, but one more turn at the air hole kept me barely conscious. I am going to die in here, I thought. Then the truck stopped again. After a few more excruciating minutes, the doors mercifully swung open, and groups with certain colored tape were allowed out and shoved into black SUVs. Not my group. I opened my mouth to protest, but my mouth was so dry my words got stuck in the sand in my mouth, and the doors shut closed again. We used our remaining strength to yell and bang against the walls and the doors, but no matter how hard we pounded, we couldn't break through the back door. Finally, the door creaked open once more, and this time, 30 or more people poured out of the back, knocking a gray-bearded man to the ground. Was he the driver? I don't know. I started to surge out with a rest, but I nearly fainted. I slumped to the floor. I heard a man say he was going to get help as he climbed over me. Were we in the sanctuary city? I wondered. How dare people who fight for sanctuary cities tell us we don't care about people? By holding out a carrot and saying, just make it here and you don't have to go home, allows these criminals, coyotes, and killers to make thousands of dollars. $250,000 was what they paid the people in that truck. That was worth between $250,000 of precious cargo. They couldn't even put a stack of bottled water in the back. And why are they coming here? Because we're unclear about our policies. Why are they coming here? Because, honestly, if our towns were run over by drug lords, if our towns promised absolutely no way to escape the poverty, and you as a mom and a dad could escape the poverty with your family, or pick one person from your family and say, go. Go and make money and send it back here, because that money is worth so much more here. It will feed the family. It will help the family educate. Wouldn't you do it? I know I would. If the situation was reversed and Mexico was a paradise, and I was living and my family was threatened, and Mexico was like, just come here, you get to Mexico City, you're good, I'd do it. But think of the crime ring that that sanctuary city in Mexico would build. Think of the criminal element that didn't care about anything but money, how they would cash in and treat people exactly like the Germans treated the Jews on the trains to Auschwitz, like cattle. These sanctuary cities need to be stopped. Our friends who think they are doing right by people think that we don't hear the cries of the people who are living in abject poverty and grave danger. We do. We do. We recognize the human suffering on the other side of our border. But everything has order to it. And if it doesn't, if there is no order, if there is no rule of law, there won't be anything left for people to strive and swim and risk their lives to come here for. Many on our side of the argument never articulate the human suffering on the other side of the border. We talk about policies. But I charge and condemn those on the other side of the argument for doing exactly the same thing. You see the poverty in their home. I see that too. But you don't see the death and destruction on getting to your precious sanctuary city for so many. Now this, Simply Safe is our sponsor this half hour. Simply Safe, if you're planning on spending any time this summer away from the home, know that burglars are looking forward to that vacation just as much as you are. For a limited time, you can take $100 off Simply Safe's special summer package. This is their biggest ever summer sale with Simply Safe. You need to protect your home. You need an arsenal of security sensors to secure each door, every window. Somebody breaks glass. Somebody comes into your home. You need a high-definition camera that snaps the picture, sends it to police, calls the police, alerts you, and you need to do it on your budget. Well, I want you to go to simplysafebeck.com right now and see their summer sale. You are not going to believe how inexpensive it is to have the elite technology protecting your home. It is, the times have changed, and these alarm companies are conning you. You don't have to have everything drilled through the walls. You don't have to have a long-term contract, and you certainly don't have to pay $50 a month for the monitoring. You own the system. $100 off that now. I mean, you're not going to believe the price. SimplySafeBeck.com. The sale ends July 31st. You'll get $100 off if you go there right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. So glad that you are you're here. There's a great blackboard lesson, chalkboard lesson that I did last night at 5 o'clock. You can find it on my Facebook page. Find it at glenbeck.com, because at glenbeck.com it also has a story that goes with it about the things you need to know about the economy and things that you need to understand and what you can do about it. You can find that at glenbeck.com. And last night I did a chalkboard. Probably, I mean, it's the closest to an old Fox chalkboard thing that I've done in a long time. I was working on this chalkboard, and there happened to be two Chia Pet heads on the desk in front of me. One was a Trump, and one was a Clinton Chia Pet head. And I explained asset bubbles with the Chia Pet heads, and
that's a very standard Harvard right? Business School practice.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. You use what you got in front of you, I think you'll enjoy it. It's a blackboard. You can find it at glenbeck.com. Okay, so you know the Donald Trump, and I'm not going to go through the Twitter feed this morning, but this is his maximum time of tweeting, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Right in the morning. This mm-hmm. is the maximum.
Yeah. We've had a couple big things that have happened this morning.
Yeah. I know. I really think he gets up, sits on the John, tweets a few things. maybe, you know, washes his face, has some breakfast, gets a briefing, tweets some more things, gets dressed, watching the news, tweets a few things.
It seemed like the rundown today.
Is it?
That was the schedule today, because about 4 hours ago, he did a couple, he took a little break, and then about an hour or so ago, he hit a couple, took a little break, then he hit again for about another 20 minutes. So he gets that break in there.
Yeah. And then he goes to work.
Did you cover the actual tweet? I mean, there's another Sessions, anti-Sessions one today.
Couple of them.
Why didn't AG Sessions replace acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, a Comey friend who was in charge of Clinton investigation but got big dollars, $700,000, for his wife's political run from Hillary Clinton and her representatives drained the swamp? That's two tweets. Now, of course, first of all, he asked Comey to stay on. So him being a Comey friend wouldn't necessarily be a negative at that point. Additionally, the $700,000 is very misleading. McCabe's wife ran for a Democratic position, mm-hmm. And she did receive money from not the Clintons, but Terry McAuliffe and his organization and another Democratic organization for that run, which she didn't win. Now, there is a separation there. However,
I think it's a very thin veneer.
But it was before any of this stuff happened.
Yes.
He didn't have these roles. He wasn't involved in the investigation.
Yes.
So, I mean, and again, he's still there. He's acting FBI director right now.
Like, he's
amazing in that he just doesn't. I mean, these things keep happening to him, and he just keeps calling these people out.
And he keeps rewriting the timeline.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's doing that.
Timeline
doing that to Sessions, and he's doing it now with this McCabe thing.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you, if you're Sessions, what do you do?
Probably leave.
You know, your job is over. I mean, and you took that job.
Get in the private sector and start making some serious money.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not what he's about. I mean, he's always been about let's curb the crime for illegal aliens. Let's actually enforce the law on illegal aliens. I mean, that's why he's in there. I think that guy knows he can do more good as the attorney general, but he doesn't know how long he's going
to
last.
I think you put your nose to the grindstone and ignore Twitter. If he wants to come fire you, let him come fire you. But I mean, he could sit here and blab all he wants on Twitter.
You imagine?
Come and fire me then. Do it.
Imagine having a boss like that who kept threatening, wants you to quit, but just makes your life a living hell.
No.
I mean, holy cow.
By the way, Jeff, get out.
I couldn't imagine
get out.
That one second.
Right? Don't shut the pie hole. We are
one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Joe in Texas, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
All right, I'm a truck driver, lives in Texas now, originally from Jersey. And, you know, there is no way that he did not know who was in there, because I know when you get to, like, a delivery stop and they unload your truck, they will sometimes bang on the side of your trailer from the inside. And you can hear that, and that's just one person banging on the truck.
So this truck driver who pulled into San Antonio and is now testifying, he had absolutely no idea those illegals, 100 of them, were in the back of his truck, some of them dead.
No, if they were banging on the truck, that you could hear that. And another thing that's funny, if he came out of Laredo, I mean, a normal truck driver, okay, they say the trailer's empty. You always check to make sure it's empty. And if he came out from Laredo, he had to go through a border checkpoint right on 35 way down there. There's no way that he did not know what was in that truck. Like I said, you can hear one person banging on the truck. If there's four or five or six people banging on an empty truck, you're going to hear that. There's no way.
So, all right. So Joe, what has to happen to these truck drivers that are doing this?
They should go to jail. And if he's found guilty, I believe that he should get the death penalty, too. I mean, this has got to stop. I mean, yeah, the people should not have came into the country illegally, but they shouldn't be in the back of a trailer just literally cooking to death. Because right. I've been in trailers helping to unload in the summertime with the back doors open, and I'm still sweating like a pig. And especially in the heat in Texas, I mean, it's
that's an oven. In Texas, that's an oven. I can't even imagine what a closed truck in Texas would feel like. No.
130 degrees, 140 probably.
You don't want to. Like I said, I live down here now 12 years, and sometimes I wish that I was back in Jersey because it can get so hot in Texas. Oh, my God. And especially in the trailer. Oof.
We all long for the beauty of New Jersey.
We all do. We all do. And the governors up there. Hey, Joe, one last question. How are you guys, as truck drivers, are you talking about or preparing at all for the revolution in self-driving trucks?
No, because hopefully by the time that happens, I'll be retired. But if that happens, I don't care. But, you know, I look at it this way. It's progress. You know, if it happens, it happens. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
I hope it don't happen because, yeah, I want to keep the roof over my head and make the wife happy. But you know what? If it happens, it happens. Not much I can do about it.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. God bless. It is gonna happen.
It's the only thing that will stop it.
The only thing that will stop it is rural America. But in the cities and on the coastlines, you'll have automated trucks. But when you get down to the small towns, you got to have a driver because most of that's just not mapped, and you know, it's just not like it is in the cities where they know everything.
In some countries, they actually don't have maps.
Yeah, we found that out a number of years ago.
We did. In fact, a lot of U.S. Americans don't have maps.
Okay. Why? You're going back to like the, what was it, Miss
2007.
Yeah, 2007. Now, Miss,
but what
Miss
do you mean
they're
not mapped? Have you ever used a GPS? Of course they're all mapped.
No, that they're not mapped like they are in the cities. If you do any research on, for instance, Uber is, you know, wanting to spread out. Well, first, mm-hmm. people aren't calling for cabs generally out in the middle of the country. But second, Uber says their biggest stumbling block is it is not mapped the way the cities are. Not every single square inch is mapped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these are farm roads, et cetera, and it's just not going
to
happen.
You see that in Google Street View when you try to get super close on a rural area and you can't necessarily get there.
Right.
However, you know, with trucking, I mean, it's passing through these areas on highways all the time.
Yeah, the highways are fine.
The semis are fine.
Yeah, the highways are fine.
So then you could just, you could put that at a distribution point easily.
Yes.
And that's just a short-term thing, right?
Yes.
If there's desire for local deliveries.
Correct.
They're going to map whatever they need to do. That's
correct.
A short process.
Correct.
Compared to changing the entire transportation system. So, I mean, I don't see how that doesn't happen. There's no way that doesn't happen eventually. I mean, it might take 10 years, it might take 40 years.
Or three.
But, you know.
Or three, yeah, they're talking.
Or three.
They're talking 5 years. We're now talking about automated trucks in 5 years.
They're already
5 years
on the road.
On the road. Right.
Yeah, they already are on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying like, because there's a percentage of business, right? I mean.
I think it's 15 years. Let's say we go to automated drivers, okay? It takes 15 years to turn a fleet over, every car on the road. Mm-hmm. Generally, it takes 15 years to turn everything over. So if they started automated driving today and they didn't mandate that everybody had to buy an automated car, it'll take 15 years before you start to see almost every single car except that cool antique car. It'll take you 15 years to totally change over the fleet to an automated car.
And the bottom line is everyone's going to like it more.
They're going to like it. And
that's the problem.
It will have to be mandated because you'll have human error mixed with automation, and they won't tolerate that. So they'll take human error out of the equation, and they'll just say it's too dangerous for you to drive with these other vehicles on the road. You can still drive. But they're going to have to turn it over to the automation for everybody, right? Otherwise, you're going to have chaos.
Did you see that the EU just banned gas and diesel engines
by
2040.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No gas or diesel engines anymore by 2040.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
They got rid of the AM radio, the FM radio, and
Big mistake.
The combustion engine.
We just saw Terrestrial radio, still by far number one.
92%.
By far number one.
People tune in to terrestrial radio 92% of people every week. Where I think we looked at podcasts as well, and it's 24% every week.
Unbelievable.
I mean, in fact, I think it was only 40% of people have ever listened to a podcast.
So what you're saying is radio's dying.
40%?
40% have ever listened to one. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that's an incredible increase from years and years ago when it was 0%.
Yeah.
But, still, I mean, people forget that this medium is still really freaking powerful.
And its demise has been predicted since TV was invented.
Yeah. And if you wanted to have a note of how powerful it is, ask John McCain, who was up there railing about it just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And John Boehner. John Boehner was out doing the same thing. He was talking about the evils of talk radio and how talk radio, you can't get anything done. When he was in office, he couldn't get anything done because talk radio stopped him every time.
Uh-huh.
Good. Good. I hope that's true. Good.
It's funny. It's like if you don't think you have an impact, wait till these guys get out of office and they all start talking about what the impact you have. They don't admit it when they're there.
Oh, yeah.
But they are very frustrated about it beforehand, which is, I don't know. I take
they all love talk. They love talk radio when we were friendly. But as soon as we caught on to their weasel ship, we were like, okay. Then they hated us. Then talk radio has to be either co-opted or destroyed. And fortunately, neither has happened. By the way, would like to take just a second and say thank you for listening to this program. Thank you for telling friends about this program. We just saw a new ratings period, and we are up 11%. We were all kind of surprised by that. But double-digit growth at a time when almost everybody else is going down, we really appreciate it. So thank you for listening to this program. On tomorrow's program, an author of a book who I think this book is game-changing. It is called Friction, and you can't buy it digitally. You have to have the book sent to you, and they do it for a reason, and I think it's a very good reason. That's my conjecture. We'll have to ask him when he's here. Mm. But I think they use the philosophy of the book on the book. And I don't know if you would connect with it the same if it is not a printed book. Would you agree with that?
Probably not.
Yeah, because it's done in the style sort of an inconvenient book and
arguing with idiots. Yeah,
and
it's really easy to read.
Uh-huh.
You pick it up. I was just talking to somebody last night, one of the managers of our company, and he came into town. And he said, "Glenn, the Friction book." He said, "I saved that for last because it's a really thick book." And he said, "I didn't flip through the pages." And he said, I thought, I got one more long book to read. He said, I started reading it. I finished it in, two or three sittings. And he said, it was the easiest book I've ever read.
It's a fun read, too. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's about building the companies of tomorrow. And I think it's about really building the family, the company, the person of tomorrow and how to do this. This is so far beyond what they talk about in the book, but it helps you understand where the world is and where the world is going and what perhaps the problem is if you run a small business. These guys have done commercials for Ford and Apple and everything else, and it's really kind of an excoriation of our business. Of commercials. And I called them up and I said, okay, all right, I've got a platform of commercials. Help me redesign the commercial. And he said, I haven't thought about it from your angle. I'm like, what? You're the Friction guy. I love your, what do you mean? You have to think about it from our angle too. It's how to connect with people in a truly authentic way, in a way that has never really been done before until now. And now it's the natural way people are connecting. And it's really exciting. But he'll be on with us tomorrow for a few minutes, and then I'm doing an hour with him on television. The name of the book is Friction, And I think it's something well worth your time to read. I think we bought a good portion of the books that put him on a New York Times bestseller because everybody, I assigned it to everybody in this company to read. Goldline is our sponsor this half hour. Goldline. Okay. What is a tail risk? That is an event that is unlikely to occur, but matters a lot when they do. Markets are really bad at assessing this kind of a risk. So what do tail risk investors, what are they missing in the market today? May I suggest you get a report from the budget director, David Stockman. He was Ronald Reagan's budget director. And in there, he shows five threats to the economy. And they are not crazy threats. These are threats that you'll be like, oh, that, gee, that's not happening already. I also want you to go to glennbeck.com and get this article. It's called, Is It Folly to Hold On to Cash Right Now or Brilliant? This talks about what's happening in the economy and the game that is being played. And it also has a quick video in there about bubbles and what an asset bubble is. This is so critical because I just wrote to my wife this morning again and said, honey, I want everything out of the stock market. We got to get out of the stock market, every penny out of bonds, because we're not going to look at our 401k like we did in 2008 and go, what the hell happened? And I think we are approaching that time. I'd like you to read all about it. Go to goldline.com right now or call them at 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Ask them for David Stockman's report. It's free. You don't have to make a decision on what to do with your money or anything else. Just ask them for that report. You'll see why I have some real red lights that are flashing in front of me. Go to glennbeck.com and read the report written for glennbeck.com. Is it folly to hold on to cash right now or brilliant? Read that as well. Then get on the phone with Goldline. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, speaking of the economy, what happened in the Great Depression? What did FDR do with the giant companies to save the economy?
Help them,
right? How did he help them? You guys remember? He called all of like the big three automakers. There was Auburn. A great, great car. There was Cord. They were great cars that were being built in America at the time. And he said, look, the economy's in trouble. Let's bring the three automakers in. Well, the three automakers said, oh, we can help. But they made all kinds of regulations that boxed out the little guy. That's why you've never heard of Auburn or Cord. These were unbelievable car. They're still unbelievable cars today, but they don't make them anymore because the Great Depression put them out of business because the big three were the ones called to Washington. Now listen to this. Republicans want the CEOs of Facebook, Google, AT&T, and Comcast to testify to Congress about solving net neutrality. What the hell do you think they're going to say?
Good golly.
Facebook, Google, AT&T, and Comcast. They're going to write it in such a way, they'll help Congress, and they will block out every single little guy, every single startup, everybody who has a new creative idea. Stop it, Republicans.
We already went down that road. We already went down that road.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to beat this back again?
Yep.
By Republicans now?
Yep. Yes, just, we do.
I mean, wow, you know this what? Is frustrating.
Can we get Chairman Pai on, the FCC commissioner? He was great when he was with us last time.
Yeah,
let's get him to give us an update on net neutrality and find out what the heck is going on. Because he'll understand the Great Depression. That's what happened last time. You don't go and ask the big three, or in this case, the big five.
Hey, how do we make it safe for people who want to have internet?
Yeah, let's go ask those guys.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
I'll tell you what, the last thing you want is the government to be involved in your internet. I mean, the internet has been improving itself and innovating for since it came along, and it's because the government's been out of the way of it. Look at what Upside.com has done. I mean, there used to be, you'd go to the bazillion different sites, you wouldn't know where you were going to get, you'd spend half your day looking for the best deal, you'd probably screw it up like I usually do. Instead, if you're looking for business travel, you go to Upside.com, and not only do you get a better price, they'll give you options to even lower it further. So they might say, hey, can you leave 2 hours later? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. It's your option, but you can save even more money there. And then in addition to that, they're going to give you a gift certificate, a gift card to a website like Amazon. Upside's the real deal. Forget about how you used to buy your business trips and buy at Upside.com. Right now, when you use the promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your first trip. It's code Beck to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We're glad that you are here. Your Roomba may be mapping your home and collecting data that could be sold. You now have to worry about your freaking vacuum. 460-pound man has dropped half his weight. How did he do it? Jeff, you're not going to like it. We'll get to that here in just a second. Also, a Wisconsin company is installing rice-sized microchips in its employees' hands.
That's good.
Well, yay!
Well,
no, it's not actually.
Right. You know what? If it just starts it faster, bring it on. I guess so. IQ is now costing some parents their kids in Oregon. We are just headed towards fascism everywhere. Oh, and some really good news, especially if you live in Illinois. Illinois is in trouble. It is teetering on junk bond status. So what does that mean? That means the state's about to collapse. Why is it in trouble? Oh my gosh. We'll show you the stats of Illinois. And we begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
OpenTheBooks.com has done some research. It's on Forbes now. Why Illinois is in trouble? Well, as they are flirting with junk bond status, and the states, the courts have said, you have to pay all of the pensions. Let me tell you about some of the expenses that are not the pensions. These are current expenditures. Right now, they have 63,000 government employees bringing in six-figure and higher salaries. OpenTheBooks.com went, Illinois, consistently one of the worst offenders. They have an auto pound supervisor in Chicago. Guy who runs the auto pound, making $144,453.
Wow.
If you want to be a nurse in a prison.
That's just where they impound vehicles?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, he's a manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good gig.
Well, that's no big deal. That's only $144,000.
Listen to this one. All right.
How about a nurse? If you're a nurse at a state corrections facility,
dangerous,
you're earning up to $254,781. A nurse. Junior college.
Wow.
Junior college presidents
making $465,420. There's university doctors. Okay, remember, the nurses were $254. How much are the doctors? University doctors earning $1.6 million. And 84 city managers or mayors out-earning every single U.S. governor.
Wow.
But that's nothing.
Yeah, but they have to do an entire city.
They have 20,295 teachers and school administrators that are paid like this. Superintendent Joyce Carmine, $398,229. Park School District teacher, $384,000.
Wait, just for a teacher?
Uh-huh.
These are teachers making $384,000?
20,295 teachers and school administrators.
Amazing.
The top five salaries are in the south suburbs and not the affluent North Shore. 10,686 rank and file workers and managers in Chicago, including 216,200 for Rahm Emanuel, 400,000 for Ginger Evans. Commissioner of Aviation includes a $100,000 bonus on top of their $400,000 salary. A deputy police chief made $240,917, and that's with $146,860 in overtime. Ramona Perkins, police communications operator, pulled down police communications operator, $121,318 and overtime of $196,726.
Almost $200,000 in overtime.
Her salary is $121. Overtime is $196.
Wow.
And by the way, she's a operator, police communications operator. That's what she's doing.
That's an important job.
You have 9,567 college and university employees, including the Southern Illinois Junior College Power Couple, Dale Chapman and Linda Chapman. The pair combined make $682,000 for working at Lewis and Clark Community College.
Doing what? What do they do?
I think they run it. Okay. I think they run it. Then you have Fady Charbel, who's making $1.58 million. Constantine Slavin.
What?
These are college and university employers.
Employees.
So you have
1.58.
158. You have Constantine Slavin making 1.04 million.
These are the doctors.
These are the doctors. University of Illinois. You have 8,640 state of Illinois employees, including a contractual worker at the newly created Department of Innovation and Technology, making 258,000. You're going to love this one. If you're a barber in the prison, you make $100,000.
Well, I mean,
wait.
I'm sure they give really special haircuts.
But wait.
You know, it's
very hard.
Yeah,
they're very hard. Okay,
and you want the inmates to be stylish, right?
You do.
You want them to look good.
Okay, so you have a $100,000 barber at the prisons making $100,000.
That's crazy.
But you have also at the prisons the quote, teacher of barbering, who also makes over $100,000.
Well, are the barbers going to know how to cut hair if they don't have the barber teacher?
How can a barber barb without a...
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here it is.
I mean, I'm not usually shocked by this, but those are shocking statistics. That is...
In total,
they're big numbers.
Roughly $12 billion in cash compensation flowing to six-figure government workers... When counting the 9,031 federal employees based in Illinois.
And then they're saying, why are our finances so bad in this state? How do we go bankrupt?
Well, and then it goes even deeper than that, because after these people retire with $185,000 salaries, they get pensions based off of those salaries that carry them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, they'll get three-fourths or two-thirds of their salary for the rest of their lives. That's a heck of a lot of money.
Some Illinois K-12 schools are spiking salaries and padding pensions. Data reveals nearly 30,000 teachers and administrators earned $100,000 plus. However, 20,295 only just so 20,295 out of the 30,000 are actually employed. The other 9,305 are retired and receiving their six-figure pension. This is absolutely unbelievable. How, and it's not going away because all of them have unions. And so the state is saying you have to pay the pensions because the unions made the deal with the government. They're still making those pensions. They're still paying those pensions. They're still making new covenants with the guys coming in now. Saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to pay you $100,000 now, but I'll pay you $196,000 in overtime to get your pension up so you'll have a six-figure pension for the rest of your life. Oh, and you only have to work here 20 years.
I mean, think about how we a lot of conservatives will say pensions are okay and a good idea. And, you know, look, you enter into a situation where you that's part of the deal, and I honestly understand that. But what they're doing is telling you, you know, I'll pay you Thursday or Tuesday for a hamburger today. Yeah. What does this say?
I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
They're just saying, we're not going to pay you what you're worth now. What we're going to do is we're going to send this out over a long, long period of time so you get paid for a lot of years that you do nothing. That is not a good philosophy.
So you guys know the story. I think I got this out of Friction, the book whose author is with us tomorrow. Mm. The Cadbury story? Was that in that book?
Yeah, I think it was Friction.
This is a fantastic story. So back around the turn of the century, Cadbury, an English chocolate company, all of the big businesses were getting hit. Socialism was creeping in, and everybody's saying socialism and communism is the way to go. Cadbury had a different philosophy. They believed in capitalism, but they believed in taking care of their workers. So what did Cadbury do? Cadbury shut down their chocolate factory. Then they found some Oompa Loompas, reopened, and they didn't hire any people. No. What they did is they shut down their chocolate factory and moved to a small rural area. They bought up a whole bunch of land, built up housing all the way around their chocolate factory, provided doctors and healthcare, grocery stores, etc., and moved all of the Cadbury workers over to this new city and said, look, you work for us, you get housing, you get health care, you get a great pay. Well, people had real loyalty to Cadbury. Where are those companies now? Where are the companies that say, I really want to take care of my employees and we're going to show you how capitalism is done?
You could make a case Google does that, right? And Facebook with their palaces that they have, that they house the employees.
They're trying to.
And they also provide food and recreation for them and all that stuff.
Jeff Rosenblum, who joins us, the author of Friction, has a bunch of examples in that book that we should go through tomorrow of companies that are trying to do that. And it helps your company over the long
term.
Sure
does. You bet it does.
You know, I mean, it doesn't seem, you know, it's hard to draw that direct line on the balance sheet of how it benefits you, but it does. I mean, obviously, over a long period of time, if you do it right, if you treat people right, if you make their lives easier, if you take the friction out of your employees' lives, it winds up really helping in the long term, and your business benefits from that.
You're going to love tomorrow's show. We have the author of the book Friction coming in, and he's really talking about reducing the friction in your customer's life, reducing the friction in your own company, and I think reducing the friction in your own personal life, too. I mean, I think this philosophy is good all the way around, and every single person, I made it mandatory that everybody read this book. Every single person who I've talked to who has read this book says the same thing. This is unbelievable. This is so simple and it's so clear and so clearly written. I can't believe that, you know, everybody isn't thinking this way. And once you read it and you really look at it, it just opens up so many doors. If you're a small business person, go read this book, Friction. You have to buy it from a bookstore on Amazon, but you can't read it digitally because I'll talk to him about that. Why did he put that friction point in?
I think it was actually a intentional, obviously it was an intentional friction point and a smart one. But why did you put that friction point in? If you're a small business person, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Here's another company. In Wisconsin, a company is offering its employees microchip implants that can be used to scan into the building and purchase all your food at work. Whether or not to get the chip is up to the employee, but Three Square Market, a company that provides technology for break room and micro markets, has over 50 employees who have had the implant put into their hand. It's a tiny chip which uses RFID technology, radio frequency identification, and it is, I've read this before. It is implanted somewhere in the hand between the thumb and the fourth finger within seconds.
That's great.
Where have I read that before, Pat?
Popular Mechanics?
It might have been Popular Mechanics, where you have a reader, something that can just be scanned and you can purchase food. And
yeah, some sort of mark or
something right in your hand.
Your body? That's really convenient.
Really good. Eventually, this technology will become standardized, allowing you to use this as your passport, public transit, all purchasing opportunities, your ID. That's fantastic.
Convenient? Sure, you bet. You bet.
It'll make purchases in the break room, open doors, copy machines, logging into computers, unlocking phones, sharing business cards, storing medical health information.
And here's the problem. Nobody thinks there's a problem with it because it's really convenient. It's not presented as, you must have this because we want you to have the mark of the beast. It's not presented that way. It's presented, hey, this is going to make your life really a lot easier.
I mean, I just don't convenient. Think. I don't think the mark of the beast. I don't right think here. The mark of the beast is going to be marketed that way. I don't think. I mean,
it's,
I just don't
gonna
think
it's going to be
like,
marketed.
Hi, I'm the right. devil.
It's not. It's going to be.
Have you seen my new convenient chip?
Put this
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's marketed like this.
I know.
Same with VidAngels. Remember that story? That's been, 15 years ago.
This was the first time they were doing that.
And their big pitch was, hey, this is going to keep your children safe because if they're ever kidnapped,
always
you're going to have this
kids.
GPS locator inside them.
And then when we asked, wait a minute, why not just cut off the hand or cut it out? Because it fuses with your body.
Yeah, you can't get it out.
And you can't get it out.
That's good, then.
Oh, it's so convenient, good, isn't
so
it?
Convenient.
It's so
Thank
convenient.
Yeah, it really
get
is.
Get the chip.
Now this. A new assessment from the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency is shaving full 2 years off the consensus forecast on North Korea's ICBM program. Did you guys hear this? Have you heard this news?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason why apparently we didn't act is because the missiles that they've been launching, not big enough to have the nuke. So now we have new intelligence coming in that says, oh, yeah, they might have that very, very soon. 2 years sooner than we thought.
Within a year, they said.
Yes. As early as next year. This projection now closely mirrors the revised predictions by South Korea and their intelligence officials as well. May I suggest you become somebody who is prepared for whatever storms could be thrown your way? My Patriot Supply. They have a new survival food kit that has 450 servings of breakfast, lunch, dinners, snacks, drinks. It's only $447. You're going to save $100 off of this. 450 servings, $447. Call 800-946-2325 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. I read something. This is ancient. I think this is ancient Greek, but it's so true. Man does not rise to the occasion. He will only rise to the level of his preparedness and knowledge. We're not going to be the great people that we hope to be. We're going to be the great people we prepare to be. Prepare now. 447 for 450 servings of food with up to a 25-year shelf life, and it's shipped free to your door. Call 800-946-2325, 800-946-2325, or preparewithglenn.com.
We have one.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Digital angel, don't be scared. It's not the mark of the beast.
See, this is what's great about what Three Square Market is doing up in Wisconsin. They're planting that little RFID chip in their employees, and it's great. You can buy stuff in the lunchroom, and it's right. Definitely...
But it's not the mark of the beast.
Definitely not. Definitely not the mark of the beast.
It's a good slogan.
So I think so, too. Yeah.
People might be concerned about that, but then you immediately remove it when the slogan is that it's not the mark of the beast.
Right.
They explain it to you right in the commercial.
And it's a happy jingle too.
Right in the happy jingle. It can't be evil.
Digital angel.
Because if they were the mark of the beast, I'm sure they'd tell you.
Well, they're not going to.
That false advertising.
Exactly.
By the way, have you guys heard? I saw an interview with Satan, and he was talking, and it was all going well for him until the interviewer asked this one question.
He went off script, asking a question.
Oh, he asked, and Satan apparently is leaving the hell business to get into face cream.
What?
Yeah. I don't even know that. And Chip and Joanna didn't know anything about it.
So he's not getting into
face cream. He's getting into face cream.
Does that mean he's not going to be the purveyor of evil anymore?
No. And Digital Angel in Wisconsin, definitely not the mark of the beast. So don't worry about any of it. I got to try some of that face cream. Everybody's doing it.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
A Texas man is the epitome of grit, devotion, and perseverance.
Oh, boy.
After dropping more than 200 pounds in an effort to recognize his dream of joining the U.S. Army, he has just made his dream a reality. He was just sworn into the military. Apparently, this began in February 2016. He weighed 460 pounds. He said, I looked into the mirror and I decided I'm just tired of being fat.
At 400 pounds?
I know. I haven't broken a sweat on being fat at that point, right? You're still just like, I'm a rookie. He's a father of four. He went to a nearby gym. He worked with a nutritionist, started his stunning transformation. He said, when I started losing weight, I was 456 pounds in 14 months without surgery or anything else.
Course.
Wait, when I first started losing weight, I was 456 in 14 months without surgery. It just said when a journey began, he was 460, so it took him 14 months to lose 12 pounds? That's not possible, right? No, to lose 4 pounds.
Well, when you're 460, probably anything other than going up is an accomplishment, I think.
It must be, I started losing weight, I was 456.
Yes.
In 14 months, I was 230.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That must be the way it is. It's poorly written. He said,
wow.
Oh, this is why I hate this guy. All I did was eat right and go to the gym 6 days a week and become very active.
I knew that's what this
was going to
be.
Shut up. Of course.
This was going to be the actual way to weight loss. I don't want to hear it.
And he said, change is possible.
Shut up.
Okay. Do you guys remember the fat guy from the Guinness World Records when we were kids?
He's right there. That hurts.
Remember, does anybody remember his name? All I remember is him in the farmer pants, in the overalls.
In the overall farmer jeans.
Right.
And next to a piano case.
I don't remember him next to the piano case, but he was buried in a piano case.
Yeah.
So do you guys remember that? Is he still the world record fat guy?
I don't think
I can imagine that.
I had respect for this guy.
I think the guy from Mexico, the Manuel or Michael, is the
okay. So this guy, I mean, he still got up every day and put pants and shoes on. It's not like our lazy fat people today who are just like, I just been watching the Kardashians and now my skin is melded with the couch. This guy got up every day. What happened to him was when he was a baby, he had whooping cough and it tore out his thyroid. And so he started gaining weight and he ended up being 1,048 pounds.
Jeez. That's cheating.
That's half a ton.
He didn't do the work.
But he couldn't lose the weight and he traveled with the circus for a while.
And he was, you know, the world's fattest man, blah, 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 blah. So I start looking this up just a few minutes ago because I'm reading about the fat man, you know, okay, I don't have to be fat anymore. All you have to do is exercise. Shut up. this guy, I'm thinking, what was life like for him? And they show pictures of him with people, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they're talking to his family. I just want you to listen to just this. I'm going to hold this up to the microphone. I just want you to listen. Now, this is his son, okay, talking about, you know, when they used to get in the car and go to the circus with dad. Now, listen to this.
They say was learning with her cigarette to see whether he was real or not.
Wait.
So you had to keep the public away.
Okay, hang on just a second.
We built this van so people couldn't get to him because there's lots of, I'd call them smart aleck. They was burning with her cigarette to see whether he was real or not.
Okay, so what? I just wanted to say, I just had to pull that out real quick. I call them smart alecks.
Smart,
you know,
Alex.
We used to think that people, you know, that wouldn't have ever happened back in the old days. I mean, you know, people knew better. No, they just called them smart Alex.
And what did he do?
The smart Alex would come up. They had to put their cigarette out on his.
See if it said ouch, it was real.
It was part of the carnival.
We had to go to the carnival, and when we went to the carnival, we'd have to put him in a special car to keep him away from the crowd because, you know, sometimes, well, I call them smart Alex.
That would be a smart Alex thing to do, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah. I think the guy going, no, don't put your cigarette out on me. So maybe the Greatest Generation wasn't that great. They just had a higher tolerance.
Yeah.
They were just like, that's just Billy Bob just being a smart aleck.
I paid to get in here to see the fattest guy in the world. If I want to try my cigarette butt on him, I'm doing it.
Well, remember the Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life. He crashes, the drunk guy crashes into the tree in front of their house. Like, oh, you screwed my tree up, darn it. Like, that was the complaint about the drunk driver that could have killed him.
Right.
Like, that was, people were just tolerant. They were just like, that's Billy. He just goes around and just crashes into stuff every once in a while.
You know how old that tree is?
So you guys ever watch
Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay. Have you watched it, Jeffy?
A little bit. I'm not involved.
I've seen maybe 5 episodes. And it is, if that's the way life was, I want to talk to an expert of the Middle Ages. I want to just know, is that the way life really was? Because it was...
I don't think there were.
I mean, just kill dragon. Yourself. No, I know fire the flying dragons. I got it. But it's all like, you know, hey, we're going for a picnic. They come back. 3 of the kids are dead. One's, you know, has a head on their pike. And it's like, yeah, we lost 2 of the kids. One of them fought back pretty good, but the rapist was just too strong for him. Oh, well, what do we have on the schedule for the rest of the day?
I mean, it's crazy. I read a book on a couple years ago on Penn Jillette's recommendation. I cannot remember the name of it. And of course, thankfully, I've just been logged out of my Kindle inexplicably when I need it. And I'll get the name for you. But that's exactly what they describe. They go through the whole thing and talk about that whole era, about that is just how society was. It was part of your life to expect at any moment you could be killed, you could die of a terrible disease, you could get trampled by something. Like, that was life for basically all of human history until very recently.
Right.
And we finally have hit that point where we've stopped acting like that to one another. I mean, we've talked about this before in the air that, you know, as crazy as the world is, you've got friggin' ISIS, you've got North Korea, you've got Iran, you've got all this craziness. The deaths that go on from war have decreased immensely.
What's amazing about it is I know about, you know, I know governments were like that. You know what I mean? You know, the torture chambers were real. The people are people. But what kills me is even the friendly people, they're like, there was one scene where somebody has a dog or something and they're looking for somebody's house, you know, to help them. And they're like, why should I help? You know, I might as well take out my sword and kill you all now. And the dog attacks and chews off 2 of the guy's fingers. And he gets up and everybody's got their swords. And he's like,
That dog is pretty great, huh? And they all start laughing with the guy who's still spurting blood out of his hand. He's like, I love you guys. Like, okay, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live like this. Please,
that's what
can we recognize that human society and civil society is very fragile? Let's not go back to those days ever, please.
It's The Better Angels of Our Nature is the book, Why Violence Has Declined, by Steven Pinker. It's funny because I'm pretty sure they did I mentioned one time in the air. Hey, you know, violence has gone down in wars, and we got a PolitiFact fact check on it, on my claim. And so they went through and they actually, to prove the claim true, actually got the guy who wrote the book that I was quoting to actually say that it was true. So to me, I've had one fact check from PolitiFact and it was mostly true.
Wow.
What has Glenn Beck done? He's got like 9,000 falses and plants on fire.
Yeah. Well, it was clear. I light my pants on fire just now, just to remember all those great PolitiFact checks.
My pants go on fire when I walk because of them. They brush together and there's been a lot of friction there.
Do you have to bring up the fatness again?
Because
we were past it.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to tell you this too. Fattest guy, 1,297 pounds.
Right now?
Until very recently. He lost 385 pounds to get gastric bypass 2 months ago. So I don't have any update yet. I hope he's doing well.
What's his name?
Wait. So he's just relinquishing the title. Mexico? You're in the world record book.
You got to just keep going.
You got to go. You got to be like, oh, honey, I don't care. I will lose weight if I'm 2 pounds heavier than the other guy.
That's my guy from Mexico. The wife was getting a little upset at him for having to wash him off so much and clean him. So he was trying to lose some weight for that.
But I mean, first of all, his name's Juan Pedro Franco. He is from Mexico. Of course, Jeffy would be up on this particular topic. But it's funny because he's lost 385 pounds, which would put him just under 1,000, yeah, which is basically the fattest person I've ever seen on my 600-pound life. So he's lost weight to get to the high end.
Pounds. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, the Hughes guy that we grew up with him in the world record book. And he was walking around. I mean, he was doing stuff.
Well, he was being carted around from city to city for the carnies.
But he could stand. At least for the pictures. You're 1,000 pounds. This guy in Mexico, is he still walking around doing something?
Very difficult.
Who is the woman standing, we read about?
If he's standing, he's barely standing. I mean,
walker
at that. That time you're very difficult to move.
So,
and because you haven't moved in a while. So that's what happens. You lay down and you become so dormant.
Yeah.
That you can't move.
So who was the person, remember, that we read about that was taken out of the side of her house by the fire, you know, in the crane? But
seven.
She was, her skin had actually fused to the couch?
Yeah. Well, there's been several reported stories of those. Some of those are false.
Do you also remember, this is in Baltimore, and we talked to the woman who was so fat, she dropped a tuna sandwich in her rolls of fat.
Oh, yeah.
And it grew into her skin.
Yeah, and they thought, they went and they...
And they had to surgically remove the tuna sandwich.
They thought it was a tumor. They couldn't figure out what it was.
Nasty. And we actually had her on the air.
Yeah, it was in between two folds.
It could
folds,
happen to anybody.
She had lost a tuna sandwich, and it had just grown in there.
Yeah.
And when they found it, they were like, oh, mom, you've got a nasty tumor. They went to the doctor. The doctor cut it.
There's my lunch. I was wondering where that was.
They cut it out. They did an analysis and said, good news, you don't have cancer. You have a tuna salad sandwich.
That's, you know, it could happen to anyone. That's embarrassing.
Oof.
Yeah.
Now this.
Yeah.
The most important natural right that you have. The right to safeguard your life. The USCCA knows this, and as the first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident, you can rest assured that they have your back. We all think about everything up to pulling the trigger. Nobody wants to do that. You train and you hope that you never have to do it. I just started training and moving at the same time. Have you ever shot while moving, trying to hit the targets? I'm a really good shot just standing still and hitting the targets. I'm a pretty good shot moving. That's really hard. So I'm doing all this practice on something that I probably will never, hopefully, ever have to use.
But I haven't put any thought into what happens after. Well, here's what happens after. Big ass attorneys from people who are trying to stop your right to carry a gun come down like a bag of bricks and do everything they can to persecute, not just prosecute, persecute you. You need somebody watching your back, and that is exactly what the USCCA does. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com and read about what they do and join them. Now, if you just want to go and check them out, there's something that I would like you to also do. They're doing the Great American Gun Giveaway. They're selecting five lucky winners to win $1,776 for gun and ammo. Five winners could be you. Your entry is completely free. All you have to do is just sign up to win. Time is limited. Go to protectanddefend.com right now. That's protectanddefend.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. One story that we haven't gotten to that I think needs more time than what we have is the Oregon couple who have a low IQ and a child, couple of children. The state of Oregon just came in and said their IQ is too low and took the children from them. It's an amazing story. We'll give this to you tomorrow. Also,
that's got to send chills down your spine, Jeffy. Wow. I mean,
that would be a shame if they took my children away. I would hate that.
Seriously, though, how many of these kinds of stories have we heard lately where parents are losing their kids to the state?
Listen to this. There is no sign of abuse and no neglect that has been found.
Jeez.
But each parent has a degree of limited cognitive abilities.
Does it say what their IQ is?
No, it doesn't. They lost custody of their older son right after he was born. And 5 months ago, they took their second child directly from the hospital. They're both now in foster care.
That is unbelievable.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Horrific. The case has left the couple and their advocates heartbroken. Can we see if we can get these parents on the phone? Get maybe their attorney on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
This is awful.
It sure is.
I mean, what right? I mean, you want to talk about progressive nightmares. This is exactly what was going on at the turn of the century. You're too stupid to have kids.
Defectives.
Yeah. Got to take Imbeciles. You away from Yeah, got to take you away from your stupid parents.
Yeah.
Got to sterilize them.
And they wanted to stop more stupid people. What was it? Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was a Supreme Court justice, said three generations of imbeciles is enough.
Yeah. We let this poor child's mother and her grandmother procreate, and three generations of imbeciles in this family is enough.
Wow.
That's a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference here? They're just not sterilizing them.
Right.
But they have children, no neglect, no abuse. The wife or the mother has been around preschool and worked at preschools her whole life, been around kids, loves kids, and they take them away? This is
bad
heartbreaking.
Story. Yeah.
Heartbreaking. We'll check that out in full tomorrow.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.